Dr. Brian.
Okay.
Come,
All right. So I just want to say happy Sabbath to everyone, and to welcome you to our Friday evening worship, to our power hour. I know that we're not able to meet in person, and I know for a lot of us it's frustrating, but it's still a blessing to have some of these platforms where we can still come together as a church family and spend some time in the Word. I always say this, you know, I really wish I was blessed with a beautiful voice. If I had a beautiful voice, I would sing a nice song to prepare our minds for the Word. But because I'm not blessed in that way, I'm just going to introduce our speaker for this evening and just hand it over to him. He's going to just share some words of encouragement with us, and then we'll have some time for discussion and for encouragement and for testimonies if we have any of those things. But in fact, let's just open with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for sparing our lives to see the beginning of another Sabbath, for bringing us to the end of another week. Lord, although this pandemic is still around and jobs are tight and money is scarce, Lord, you continue to bless us. You continue to provide for us. Mm-hmm. And even in the midst of our challenging times, we can still see your merciful hand and we can still see your gracious hand. Mm-hmm. So we thank you for those things, Father. We ask that as we spend some time in your word, that your Holy Spirit will come and dwell with us, that you will open up our minds, you will open up our hearts to be receptive to the words you have for us this evening. So Lord, thank you in advance for what you're about to do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we are very blessed this evening to have a visitor with us to share some words of encouragement with us. He is none other than Jesse Samuel. I've known him for a little while. So although I wasn't supposed to be introducing him, I feel like it's quite a privilege that it's been set up this way. So I get to introduce him. I know the beard makes him look a little bit older, but he's actually just 24 years old. He's born and raised in London, proper Londoner, but he's been in Oakwood for the past few years. He was studying out there and he's recently graduated with his theology degree. And I know the intention is for God to continue to use him in full-time ministry. But ultimately, he just has a passion for Christ. He has a passion for young people. And I know that God is going to speak through him today to share some words of encouragement. So Jesse, over to you, and welcome to the Stoughtonianton family.
Happy Sabbath, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, I just want to thank Ashra. Thank you so much for the invitation to come, and also for the introduction, your kind words. I have known Ashra for a little while now, I think for at least, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. And he's a great inspiration for me. And also congratulations on completing your degree. You know, we praise God for that. But before we continue, let's just go into the Word. I'm going to go to Genesis. If we turn our Bibles, you know, your phones, or if you have it in your hand, we're going to go to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 32. That's Genesis chapter 32. And we're going to read verses 22 all the way down to 26. Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 all the way down to 26. The Bible says, "And he arose that night and took his wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him." Verse 26. "And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaks.' But he said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.'" For the next 10 minutes or so, I just want to share a word entitled "Displaced Mercy." Displaced Mercy. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for who you are. God, we recognize that we have not been as faithful to you as you've been faithful to us. So, God, for this reason, we join the songwriters in saying, great is your faithfulness. God, I'm praying now that, Lord, as you're about to share your word, Lord, that you would speak that my heart of stone would be crucified and you'd replace it with a heart of flesh. God, I'm praying that you would touch somebody's heart, that they would be so convicted to give their life to you. And Lord, when all is said and done, Lord, you would have concerned of numbers, but hearts that were connected to you. So speak now, for we, your servants, are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Displaced mercy. When I was growing up, one of the things that I loved to do with my brothers when I was younger was watch wrestling. Do I have any wrestling fans in the house? You see, we used to love to watch wrestling. I'm talking about John Cena, The Edge, The Hardy Brothers, and all these type of wrestlers. We used to love wrestling, Monday Night Raw, and even SmackDown. But you see, even if you didn't watch wrestling, even if you didn't like wrestling, there was one wrestler that everybody knew, and that was none other than The Undertaker. You see, everybody knows The Undertaker, not because he was the best wrestler, not because he was the one with all the tips and tricks, but simply because he just had this way of doing things. He always came into the ring unannounced and uninvited. And so it happened this one match where The Undertaker comes into the ring unannounced and uninvited. He takes out one opponent, and then now he comes to go against the man who he wanted to fight. But it was so heavy that The Undertaker, he started to get beat up and he started to take some licks, and the guy got The Undertaker down on the ground. And after that, you know what happens next? The ref began to count 1, 2. And just when you thought that the match was about to be over, The Undertaker did what he always did in nostalgic fashion, just lifted up his head, looked at the man and gave him the sign. And that's when you knew that the match was not over, but in fact, the match was just getting started. Oh, here in our text, we find Jacob. He's been in his uncle's Laban's house now for such a long time. He's been there for about 20 odd years. Understand, he's been there because he retreated to find refuge from his brother Esau. In other words, he retreated to find a refuge from Esau. Understand that he worked years for a Rachel, but acquired a Leah, that he lived wanting and desiring the woman that he loved to bear children, but she was barren, while the woman whom he was just given bore children. Understand that his uncle Laban now continued to trick him until Jacob had enough and decided to turn that thing around and trick Laban. And so it is here in the text now where we see Jacob, he leaves his uncle's Laban's house and he's now on his way back to meet his brother Esau. But he knows that Esau is angry. And so he anticipates anger, malice, and disdain. And the Bible says that while he's there, he sends forward two servants to appease Esau. But Esau knows the game. Esau is not having it. And so he sends forward his children and his wives and his servants over the brook. And now he gets to a place, the Bible says, that he's left alone. And that's where a man starts to wrestle with Jacob. I'll see the text now as the Bible says that he's left alone now, and out of nowhere, unannounced and uninvited, this man whom we know to be God starts to wrestle with Jacob. See it now as Jacob did not initiate this fight, yet Jacob is forced to engage in the wrestle. Jacob did not want this match, yet Jacob is the one who is forced to engage in this wrestle. And the Bible says that the man whom we know to be God wrestles with Jacob until the day breaks. And I believe that we could be excited about that tonight, because the Bible does not say that he wrestled with him for a moment or just for a few seconds, but the Bible says that he wrestled with him until the day breaks. In other words, he wrestled with him all night long. And I believe that the only reason why you and I are here today alive and well is simply because God was willing to wrestle with us, not just for a moment, but long enough and until some things changed in our lives. So I believe the only reason why some of us are not strung out on drugs is simply because
God has continued to wrestle with us. The reason why many of our families are still together and not collapsed, even though we failed to lift up Jehovah in our household, is simply because God has continued to wrestle with us. The reason why we're still here, even though we continue to make bad decisions, is simply because God in his mercy has continued to wrestle with us. And we can shout even on a Friday night. Why? Because God has blessed us and is moved in our lives so much that he still wrestles with us even when we do not deserve it. See the text now as he wrestles with him until, the Bible says. But not only does he wrestle with him until, but now the Bible says that the day has now broken and it is God. After all, we would remember that it was God who initiated this fight. It was not Jacob, but it was God's idea to engage in the wrestling match. But now God is the one that looks at this and realizes that Jacob is not about to let go of him. And so the Bible says that God just touches Jacob's hip. Oh, what a sly move by God. What trickery. It's almost like a sucker punch. You see, understand that whenever somebody's hip is touched, whenever somebody's hip is dislocated, some of you would have had a hip problem or maybe even auntie or uncle or grandparent, you would know that that person struggles to walk the same again. One touch from God and Jacob no longer walks the same. One touch from God and Jacob's hip is dislodged. One touch from God and Jacob no longer walks like he used to. Why? Because how many of you know that all God needs is one touch to start to change the way that you walk? One touch and you no longer went to the club. One touch and you used to say four-letter words that used to be found that weren't found in the Bible, but now you've learned how to give praise to God. One touch and you used to invite danger, but now after experiencing the power of God, you've turned into a deacon. One touch from God and you used to be a big old mess, but now he's turned that mess into a message. One touch from God and you used to do things that were contrary to what God had for over your life, but simply because God kept on touching you and blessing you in ways that you did not deserve is the reason why you're here today. But if the truth be told, Stokey, we haven't just been touched one time, but I don't know about you, but I've been touched many times. I've been touched another time, and I'm thankful that we serve a God that doesn't give up on me, not once, not twice, but he continues to touch me and he continues to bless me and work in my life until things change in my life. See it now as he touches him. And the Bible says that he now starts to walk differently. But if you look at the text, the Bible says, not only does he start to walk differently, but it says that he touches Jacob's hip. His hip joint comes out of socket. And he says, Jacob's hip joint comes out of socket as he wrestled. Oh, somebody stay with me. In other words, the Bible says that he's already started to walk differently, but he's now touched Jacob's hip and Jacob's hip joint comes out of socket as he wrestled. In other words, that Jacob already started to walk differently, even though he was still in the midst of his wrestle and struggle with God. In other words, he hadn't overcome everything fully yet, but he'd already started to walk differently. And the Bible says that he touched his hip joint. His hip joint comes out of socket as he wrestled. And Jacob already starts to walk differently. But if you look at the context, this is good for us because people have told you, in order for you to live a life after Christ, you ought to have everything put together. You ought to have changed completely. You ought to have overcome everything. But if my Bible is correct, the Bible shows that Jacob already started to walk differently, even though he was still in the midst of his wrestle and struggle with God. But if we look at the context, Jacob was by himself. He was alone with God. He was by himself with God. Nobody else was around to see the change that was taking place inside of Jacob, yet Jacob had already started to have been changed. And I've got some encouragement to let you know that no matter what people have said about you, no matter what your circumstance looks like this evening, simply because God has the power to touch you, he's already starting to work stuff and change stuff and massage some things out of your life so that when you cross over, it's not because of what people have have said, but it's because of what God has done inside of you. See it now as he starts to change the way that he walks as he wrestled. In other words, he hasn't overcome everything fully yet, but he's still in his wrestle and struggle with God. He's still got some lying issues, but yet he's still in his wrestle and struggle with God. He hasn't overcome everything fully yet, but he's still engaged in a wrestle and a struggle with God. Understand that he hasn't overcome every deceitful nature yet, but he's still engaged in his wrestle and his struggle with God. But I like the text because the text gets better. The Bible says that not only does he now begin to walk differently, not only has he started to walk differently as he's engaged in a wrestle, but the Bible says that God now looks at him and God says to Jacob, "Let me go." We would recall earlier in the text that it was God's idea to engage in the wrestle. This was not Jacob's idea, but now it is God, the one who started the match, the one who started the engagement, now looks at Jacob and realizes that Jacob isn't going to let him go and now says, "Let me go for the day breaks." But I like Jacob, and I just believe that Jacob must have been a black man, because it's only black people that aren't willing to let you go, or they're not willing to leave your house until they get some food. And I believe, just in my sanctified imagination, that Jacob could have been a black man. And so he now says to God, "Lord, I will not let you go unless you bless me." And I believe that if we are to get anywhere in our Christian walk, if we are to get anywhere in life, then we've got to be willing to wrestle with God as long as he's willing to wrestle with us. See Jacob now, as Jacob is not like many of us. Many of us, we would have given up. Many of us, we would have thrown in the towel after some hours or after a while. But Jacob is different to the rest. Jacob says, "Listen, I didn't start the fight, but I'm going to stay here, Lord, until you change something in my life." And I believe that if we are going to progress in our Christianity, then we've got to be like Jacob and say, "Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Lord, I'm not going to let you go until my finances get better. Lord, I'm not going to let you go until I get better grades in school. Lord, I'm not going to let you go until my children come back to church. Lord, I'm not going to let you go until my family is restored. Lord, I'm not going to let you go until my church family gets more spiritual." And I believe if we are to get to a place, even as Adventists, where we are living in this cruel world, we ought to say, "Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." See it now as he says, "Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." But I like Jacob, because not only does Jacob do that, but now God asks Jacob, "What is your name?" You see, God knows Jacob's name. So why is it that God asks Jacob his name? You see, Jacob, the word Jacob actually meant deceiver. It meant a supplanter. It meant a trickster. And so Jacob was known as a trickster, a deceiver, a supplanter all of his life. I mean, you would recall that when Jacob was coming out of his mother's womb, he was holding onto his brother's heel, Esau, supplanter. You would remember that after, when Esau came back from hunting and now Jacob had a pot of stew, Esau asked Jacob for the stew, and Jacob says, "Listen, in exchange for the stew, you've got to hand over your birthright, trickster." You would recall that, and after that, him and his mother connive, and they construe a plan to, now Jacob goes into his father's court and puts on a coat of fur, and they now trick his father into giving him the blessing that was destined for Esau. Why? Because Jacob is a deceiver. Not only is he a deceiver, but now he retreats and goes to his uncle's house, Laban. And now while he's with Laban is now there, and Jacob wants to get Rachel. But instead of getting Rachel, Laban now tricks Jacob. Why? Because lying runs in the family. But now it's got to a point now, after that, Jacob and his wife, they trick Laban, they leave, they're now on their way back to meet Esau. And this is where we find ourselves in the text, where God is saying, "Jacob, listen, you've been a trickster all your life. You've been a deceiver all your life. You've been a supplanter all your life, Jacob, your name shall no longer be called trickster. Your name shall no longer be called deceiver. Your name shall no longer be called supplanter, but your name shall be called Israel. For you have wrestled and struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Stokey, if you have not realized, Jacob is Israel. We now say the children of Israel. In other words, he's now been named a father of nations. What am I saying? I'm saying that if God's got the power to change someone from being a trickster, a liar, a supplanter, a deceiver into someone who's now become a father of nations, how much more can he change circumstances in your life? I don't know what you've been called. I don't know what people have called you. I don't know what people identify you with, but you can rest assured that if he's got power to change Jacob's name from a deceiver into a father of nations, then he's got the power to change your name too. See it now as he changes his name. I like it because he changes his name, and the Bible says he has wrestled and struggled with God and has prevailed. You see, the word prevail, we studied Hebrew and I learned something, amen. The word prevail, in one of his connotations, actually means endure. In other words, applied to this text, you could infer that this text is saying because he endured in a wrestle, because he endured in a struggle long enough with God, because he endured in a wrestle long enough with God, that after a while, God too honored the wrestle and the struggle and eventually changed his name. I'll say this and then I'm through. The Bible says that after changing his name, Jacob now names this place Peniel, for it is a place where he has seen God face to face, and yet he's still living. He says this is a place where he's seen God face to face, and yet he's still living. So much so that the Israelites to this day no longer eat the piece of meat that was shrank on Jacob's hip because of what has happened to Jacob. But I want to know, why did he call this place Peniel, this place where he's seen God face to face and is still living? You see, if we go back early in chapter 32, we would recall that Jacob, he was beseeching the Lord. He was praying, asking the Lord to deliver him from his brother Esau. And within that prayer, Jacob asked, Lord, did you not promise me that my descendants would be as the sand of the sea? Lord, did you not promise me that I would be a father of many nations? So I believe that Jacob now names this place Peniel, a place where he's seen God face to face, and yet he's still living. It's because God wanted all of us to know who were coming after Jacob that once we encounter God face to face, we will never, ever, never, ever, never, ever, never walk the same again. And I believe that we could be thankful because many of us, we have encountered God. We have seen God move in our life. And even though we didn't change the first time, we've encountered him enough to the point that he started to change the way that we walk. And if you're anything like me, you used to come to church and it didn't mean much. You used to come to Sabbath school and it didn't mean much. You used to come to divine service and AY and perhaps even leave halfway through. But how many of you know that you had a mother praying for you somewhere, and because she prayed, you're here now. And I believe that we could be thankful that although we do not deserve it, although we haven't been all that faithful to God, he's remained faithful to us to the point that because we've seen him face to face, he's now given us the opportunity to walk differently and talk differently and have a new name in him. So much so that Jacob now names the place Peniel. He leaves, he's on his way to meet Esau. And the Bible says that the Esau that would have naturally killed him looks at his brother. He looks at the way that Jacob walks and he realizes that there's something different about Jacob. You see, if Jacob had been walking well, Esau would have killed him. But because Jacob now walks with a limp, because Jacob's walk is drastically different to what he used to be like, because his lifestyle has now changed, Esau has mercy. What am I saying? I'm saying if we are going to make a difference in our community, Stokey, then we've got to learn to trust and lean and rest on Jesus. He's got to start to change the way that we walk. Because if you look at the text, he would have naturally killed him. But simply because he's walking differently, he's now had mercy. Because how many of you know that when Christ comes again, he's not looking for people who've always been walking perfectly. He's not looking for people who've always been walking well, but he's looking for a people who have learned to rest and lean and depend on him. So tonight, if you take any word of encouragement, learn to rest on Jesus. Learn and understand that your limp is not because he's got a problem with you. Your limp is not because he despises you, but he's caused you to limp because once you limp, how many of you know that you'll learn to lean and rest on Jesus? And you see, the fact of the matter is that many of us, we have misidentified our limp. We have misidentified our struggle in Jesus. We have assumed that because this is happening in my life and because this is happening, that God is just against us. But if my Bible is correct, what Jacob teaches me is that God wants to work and iron some stuff out of our lives. And because he's got the power, he not only has the power to change the way that we walk, but he's also got the power to change our name. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for who you are. God, we pause and just say thank you that you still take the time out to wrestle with us. God, we are thankful that even when we do not deserve it, Lord, even when we have proclivity to sin and to deceive and to connive our way through situations, Lord, you still take us in your hand, touch us and change us. And even though others may not see it, Lord, you've already started to work a difference in our lives. But God, I'm praying most importantly that those who do not know Christ would be able to see a drastic difference based upon what you have done through us, so that they too can want to know who is this Jesus that they serve. God, I'm praying for the person tonight that is struggling, for the person tonight that is struggling with being identified with their past. But God, I'm praying that in the name of Jesus, you would set them free, that you would give them a new name in you, and it would give them the confidence to leave here knowing that not only do you love them, but you've given them the power to walk in their new life. Lord, be with us now. Lord, may we depart from this place, but never from your presence. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I just want to thank Jesse so much. His camera has disappeared, but I just want to thank Jesse so much for sharing with us this evening. I have to say I've known Jesse for a long time, but this is actually the first time I've heard Jesse share a word, and I'm just so grateful that God through his Holy Spirit was able to use you to bless many of us. And I'm so glad. I don't know if it's just me, but is there anyone else that is glad that God doesn't define us or exclude us or write us off based on our past, but he is to rewrite our future, to rename us and allow us to start again. You know, when I think about the love of God, it blows my mind, because where the more you go through challenges and you go through life, you start to realize that the love that people show towards each other, whether it be family, whether it be relationships, whether it be friendship circles, all of the love that we as humans show is conditional. It is at some point, you're going to get upset about something, you're going to get hurt about something, and it's going to change the way you feel and you interact with that person. That one that you once said, you know, you cannot live without the love of my life, then you're saving do not answer in your phone. And you can't even bear to be in the same room as them. But the beautiful thing about God is that his love is unconditional, that no matter how much we do, no matter what labels people want to put on us, even when we don't even want to love him back, he continues to love us and he continues to call out to us and he continues to wrestle with us until we get to a breakthrough, until we get to a place of healing and blessing and transformation. And I know that I can't sing, but I just found a little song here just then. And I'm just going to play this song for us, and then I'm going to open it up for any testimonies or comments that any of us want to share. Let me see if this works now. Can we hear it?
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He would give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, and wounds that mark the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon His shoulder. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there, until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. That it is
anybody's faces, but I want to take this opportunity to just open up the floor for anyone that has a testimony that they would like to share, or any words of encouragement that you want to share with the rest of the family that are here, don't be shy. You can just unmute yourself, or any thoughts that you have to share on the message that we heard from Jesse this evening. Anybody that wants to share with us? Any brave souls?
I just wanna say I'm happy and I'm blessed. Because I know Jesse, when I would have said younger school days, when I was at I can't remember that place up top. But I used to go to their church, yes, and Elder Alan Samuels and family look after me. But I saw these two young men and I thought, yes, God has to do something with them. So when I hear him now, I know God has done something with them. And I say, so, you know, they were always looking towards the word of God and learning it. And I can see now they are ready now to be going out there and plowing the field, giving God his praise and helping to encourage others. So Jesse, I want to thank you for stepping in the gap. This is Howard. You might wondering who is talking. I didn't put my picture up. That's why I'm telling you who I am. This is Howard Kelly. Yeah. So I just want to, and I can see your family here. I looked around and I saw Elder Allen and the rest of you all there. But I just want to say God has been good. And it's nice to see that you're still trudging on, even in the difficult struggles of life. You as a young man still looking to Christ for the answer, and I hope you'll continue in that vein. And I just want to thank you for availing yourself to the Holy Spirit and to us at Stokey so we could hear from you this evening.
Thank you. I'm so from Kelly.
Thank you so much, Elder Kelly. And I just want to extend a warm welcome to the Samuel family, even in the chat as well now. So welcome to the Samuel family. I'm glad that you're able to spend Friday evening with us, and you're welcome to come back again on another Friday evening. It doesn't only have to be when Jesse is speaking. We are happy to have you worshiping with us.
Can I talk?
Yeah, go ahead. Who's Auntie Angela?
Yes, I just want to thank Jesse for his message this evening of encouragement. I missed most of it. I'll catch it at the end. And I just want to say thank God for taking me throughout the week. I've had a bit of challenge this week at work because someone at work has been tested positive, and they've sent me home to be quarantined. But a lot of people, because they've sent on my whole floor, not to say that we have it, but just for precaution. And so quite a few of my work colleagues were very upset. They were anxious. They were fearful. You know, there was so much that was going on. And it so turned out to be that the message got around that Angela was crying. And then I'm getting all these messages. I'm getting phone calls from people. I mean, I even got a message saying, how are you? I heard that you were crying. And I thought, and somebody said, not Angela. Angela would not be crying. Angela would be praying. And I said, I thank God that somebody noticed that, that they could actually say that I did say to them that I wasn't crying. Because I was quite shocked when they said to me, oh, the message got around that Angela was crying. But it just goes to show, and I thank God that I know him, that I could have been at peace when they said to us they were sending us home, because some thought they, you know, they said they had it. And they said, no, we're not sending you home because you have it. We're sending you home because we just want, for precautionary sake, we're sending you home just to, you know, quarantine. If you get any symptoms, then, you know, call the doctor or, you know, call the NHS. But, you know, in times like these, people's peace have been rocked. You know, they are so confused, they're worried, there's so much fear that is going on. And I pray that us who know God would be still at peace. In spite of what we see going on around us, there's things going on in Nigeria, you know, it seems like the whole Nigeria is turned upside down. It's, you know, it's just crazy what's happening there. But we are told, or we are reminded that, you know, we are to put on the whole armor of God so that we are able to stand in times like these. People's jobs, people's work, you know, finances, everything is seen to be rocked and rocky and shaky at this moment in time. So I just want to encourage others as I encourage myself that, you know, to put on the whole armor so that no matter what's going on around us, we will have that peace of mind and we will have that stableness to know that God is in control, as Jesse reminds us today. And just to trust him. He's warned that, he's told us in his word that times like these are going to come around us. So, you know, we are not to be running and being in countries. And I know it's hard to say because you hear things and you see things and reality is pushing, you know, when you think of even for the young people, it's very hard right now. This week, someone's taken their lives and they're only 18 years old. Someone else, you know, they've walked out and they've left their child, you know, and they were 18 as well. And so it makes you wonder, you know, our young people are really experiencing challenging time. Not only our young, but our senior members, because they can't go out either. They're stuck indoors. And it's very difficult. So let us remember them in our prayers and give someone a call that we haven't heard from. You know, find a young person or a senior person, give them a call that we haven't heard from throughout this since March. You know, and see how they get in on, see what's going on for them. Even the people in our household, because they may be going through things and, you know, are walking around. They may be smiling, but deep down they may be hurting. So, you know, we need to be mindful of one another in our household. So enough is said.
Thank you, Auntie Angela, for that.
Thank you.
It's so true. It's so true. I couldn't agree with you more. Was there anyone else that had anything they wanted to share? Any comments on the message, any testimonies or any words of encouragement for the rest of the Stokey family this evening?
I just want to say thank God for the past 9 months. I'm going to work through this COVID and I've not passed, get anything. So I just want to give God thanks for sparing my life. And I'm still working, but trusting and hoping that I will not have it because I go around a lot of people and I see a lot of people. So I'm just giving God thanks.
Well, praise God. Yeah. And we're thanking him in advance for continued protection over you as you continue to travel back and forth to work. Thank you so much for sharing with us. Sorry, I'm trying to this as well to make sure I'm not missing anyone that might be unmuting themselves. All right. Well, was there anyone else that wanted to share? Okay. Well, again, I just want to extend on behalf of the entire Stoke Newton family, I want to just thank Jesse again for taking time out to share with us. And I'm pretty confident that we will invite you back another time to share. Like I said before, for all of our visiting friends that are here with us, I see some visiting friends. I know we have Rianne is here. Welcome. Thank you. Wesley is here. Miles is here. Thank you so much for tuning in. And again, like, feel free to come back. We are here every Friday evening at 7 p.m. And if you want prayer meeting, Wednesday power hour, we're here Wednesday at 7 p.m. as well. So feel free to come and fellowship with us any week throughout the rest of this pandemic. And by God's grace, God's spirit in our life, when the church is reopened, we'd love to have you come and fellowship with us in person. But from me, I want to say happy Sabbath to everybody. Have a wonderful evening, a restful night, and I'm going to hand it over to Auntie Donna, who will tell us what's going to happen in terms of